Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we will be discussing Summit Fanfare by William Owens. Cheers to starting the conversation.
This is a fantastic grade one on the Texas PML piece of music that is kind of, as the title would indicate, fanfare kind of march style. It's in the key of concert E flat and 4/4 throughout minus 1/2/4 measure grand pause. It is less than 2 minutes in length. It has split clarinet parts, split trumpet parts. The trombone and euphonium parts are not doubled. They have some independence. You really need 5 percussionists to make this work. The bell part is important. Timpani is also important. Then you have snare, bass, and an accessory percussion line for cymbals and triangle. So I would say 5 percussion minimum on this. One of the things I love that William Owens often does in his music writing is he gives a simplified snare drum part or an advanced snare drum part. I love that ability to differentiate depending on the skill level of your percussionist. That's awesome.
So this piece is, as Lara said, really great. It's in lifted style all the way throughout. You must have really good trumpets. And again, it's split trumpet parts. So you should have a fairly large trumpet section in order to make this work. The piece starts off with a fanfare between with trumpet, flute, and oboe. And they come in on beat one, and then the rest of the band comes in on beat three with a nice accented front. Then the rest of the band's going to back out of the way so we can hear the melody, but there's a nice little intro. There's some cute little chromaticism in measure 4 that is really nice, but you do want to make sure that that lines up really well between your flute and trumpet part, your upper people, so that that way it doesn't sound like a wrong note or anything like that. Then immediately there's a forte piano in measure 5. The horns and the tenor sax and clarinet 2 get to continue on with trumpet 2 with like a little fanfare type moment. It's softer. The whole band kind of backs out of the way and we build up the excitement into the first melodic point, which is going into measure 11. The nice part is everybody is tonguing like pretty much 2D rhythms. It's just 1, 2, and 3, 4, and 1. I don't even remember there being any
dotted quarter notes.
Yeah, there's just dotted half notes. So it's fairly easy for kids to line up and to make it move together and have really, really nice alignment so you can focus on balance and things like that. At measure 9, right before the first moment of melody, there's a big timpani feature. So as Lara mentioned, you definitely want to make sure you have a strong timpani player who's not afraid to play out. And then the band kind of decrescendos and the clarinets come in with the melody.
The melody here that the clarinets have, it is below the break. It's in a great register for them. The first and second parts double, except for at least the moving line. Then it splits to harmony. Flute and oboe come in and echo them along with the alto saxophone. It's a nice little woodwind feature here. There are no brass players playing, but there are cues in the brass. So if you needed some support.
Or like if you don't have any low reeds.
Exactly.
You could use low brass.
But I love the little woodwind feature here. Bells play a really important role. They have, they are not doubling the flute part here. So they are adding this nice little tinkling moment accompanying the clarinets here. Really nice woodwind feature moment. Snare drops out. We just have that
the
bell percussion
and triangle.
Yeah.
And they keep the tempo moving for sure. And I love this part too, because again, it's kind of like a typical march, even though it's a fanfare and not a march, where the woodwinds do get to be featured.
Right. It feels almost like a trio, even though it's at the beginning of the piece.
Yes. And the articulations are really well laid out by Mr. Owens. It's tongue, tongue, slur, tongue, 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 slur, tongue, tongue. So, getting a chance to work on that with your students and making it it's not something horribly difficult,
but
making sure that they can line up.
That's right. The tendency will be to add an extra note under the slur. Ta ha ha.
So when you're marking your parts ahead of time, that would be a perfect opportunity to write TST above a few of those moments. So they're getting in the habit of how to retongue from the get-go. There's a fun little harmony in measure 17, where the note should be an E flat, but it changes to an E natural and makes it a different chord. So making sure that the flutes and oboe really align there, and the alto saxophone, so that they sound like one. From the last time I remember playing this piece, every time there would be an accidental note, it just didn't sound right. It was probably partially my kid's fault, but you know, it just didn't always settle. So just working on those chord changes and making sure that it sounds really accurate would be helpful, good, just to help the kids' ears. There are some accidentals also written in the clarinet part. So when you're marking your parts ahead of time, make sure you mark that it carries through the measure at least a few times to remind your students. And then we have some trumpets taking over the melody.
The trumpets come in at measure 19. They are taking over exactly what the clarinets just did.
And I should say, each time the melody occurs in this piece, it's always on a pickup note on 4.
Yes.
So we worked really hard to make sure that everybody who was passing on the melody would hold all the way to beat 1 so that it would touch and not be let go early. And that the pickup note plays really confidently, so it's obvious that it's not just 1, 2, and 3, 4. It's 4, 1, 2, and 3.
Long pickup notes. Yes. Pickup notes leading to the downbeat. So yep. Trumpets take over right here at 19, the same melody that the clarinets had before. So now it's a little bit more of a brass feature, but we do still have a lot of the woodwinds playing flute and oboe are out at this point, but the clarinet and saxophone families are playing with the brass, kind of supporting what the brass are doing, but trumpets are leading here for sure.
And they're in split parts. Yes. They have the melody together for one measure and then they're split. So as I mentioned, you want to make sure you either have a really confident trumpet section or a big one where you can have enough players to get both parts to come across.
Stylistically, I feel like I have heard this played at times before where people put a lot of space between these notes, and I really don't think that is how this should be played. There needs to be clear fronts to the notes for sure, firm articulation, defined note fronts, but there does not need to be space between the notes. Ta 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 ta, instead of ta 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 ta. That sounds much more immature. So just making sure firm fronts to the notes, but no space in this section.
Yes, I completely agree with that. We get a little bit of some space coming up in a moment. Again, the brass are kind of having their moment here. They lead us also with a crescendo into another new little section at measure 22 with an A flat in the low brass. So just making sure, again, that you're really positioning right on third, making sure that it's correct. Sometimes the kids have trouble with that, and you can hear that whenever we have judge people before. Then there's a pickup and the flutes add in with the trumpets along with the oboe. Flutes are above the staff a little bit here, so just making sure that intonation is really solid between flute and trumpet one is a very important detail to pay attention to here.
And this is a repeat of the opening statement,
right?
The first couple of measures opening statement right here.
Because they're alone. Nobody else is playing. 1 and 2, then the full band comes in on 3.
Yes.
So that needs to be accurate and in tune because it's all by itself. Then we get this, some more accents in the low brass, like I mentioned before. Now we actually have some stylistic markings. Accent, staccato, accent, 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 so that the lows are doing something a little different underneath as kind of like a little fanfare-ish part.
The clarinet, alto, and horn here as we transition into this new section have a cool little, not really so much a counter melody, but like a response to the statement that the flute and trumpets have made. It's really important. It does have an accidental in there, so you want to be really mindful of that. But that moving part right there while everyone else is holding long notes is really important. We land on a full chord at the end of this as we start to transition into this new section. And it's important to make sure that chord is in tune and balanced. William Owens is fantastic about scoring this stuff really well for middle school ensembles. Unless your ensemble is instrumentated in a unique way, you shouldn't really have to do many rewrites here. He's written it so well. There is another timpani moment here while everyone is holding this long moment, getting ready to transition into the new section. So again, as Katie said at the beginning, timpani is important, really important. You want to have a strong player.
This chord, I remember whenever I played it with my group, and, you know, everybody has different instrumentation. Our trumpets were good, but not the best at playing an upper C in tune. So I remember what we did to rescore is we had only one student play the upper C because we're holding it for a long time against the flutes. And all the other first trumpets moved down to the A and played a different part, the third of the chord. So that's something for sure that you can always do is just have one person on the upper note. The flute part is even split here as well. Mm-hmm. It's a G and a B flat together. So I think B flat. Sorry, it's cut off a little bit. But you could just say only one flute gets to play the upper note and everybody else can play the lower. So that's always a good option.
Or take some down an octave so you don't get too many people on the third. That will make the chord sound really unbalanced if there's too many people on the third.
That's absolutely right, too, depending on the instrumentation. And then at 27, the clarinets and the trumpets take over with melody. But this time, the melody starts on beat two. And now
we're getting
a little bit like spicy. So the articulation changes. It's slurred in the melody, but it's staccato in the other parts.
In the accompaniment. And you even hear this in the percussion. We add claves in the percussion. So there's even that more staccato element in the percussion accompaniment here as well.
So like all the low brass now have staccato quarter notes. So making sure that they're light and quiet behind the melody is important. All the upper woodwinds just have one and, four and, one and. So they're light and quiet behind the trumpet and clarinet melody. And trumpet and clarinet does not have staccatos. So their parts, actually I take that back. Clarinets have the melody with the trumpets for like a second. Then they go to the accompaniment and it's just trumpets with horn on harmony. So at 28, trumpets are alone on the melody. So they need to be really confident and they have no staccatos here. They are playing long like they were before and everybody else is playing a different moment. Horn and alto do have a counter melody to the trumpet part here. And again, they are not staccato either. So making that differentiation between the accompaniment and the melody, I think, is very important stylistically.
And then with the melody and counter melody, working to balance that out so that you like the ratio between what's happening melodically and with the counter melody.
And he wrote it really well where like trumpets have a dotted half note at the end of their melody and horn and alto have one, two, and three, four. So it's always like they're interplaying their parts, but it's good to just teach students, you know, through this piece that longer valued notes are usually not that important and moving notes are more important. So you're going to have to write in like be softer on this note, be louder on this note. And I think that's good for us to teach kids really early on, you know, just because it says forte doesn't mean you're actually going to play forte. No,
that's
you
right.
have a whole note. It's not forte. And then the melody kind of continues on between trumpet, horn, and alto and the counter melody. There are some accidentals in measure 33 that are important to note because kids like forget them sometimes because there's so few in the piece. There's an E natural in the trombone part. So just making sure we're really in tune when we hit those moments. And then the melody ends with a nice whole note and a new pickup in the flute section.
And now the flutes take over this part that the brass just played before. So much like we had earlier, now that was more brass focused, this is woodwind focused. So flutes are playing this same longer connected melody. Altos have this with them as well. And the clarinets are the ones who have the counter melody part. Well, it's slightly different than what was played before, but it is a counter melody part. And then the accompaniment, that crisp staccato light accompaniment, is happening in the low reeds in this section, and tubas. We did add tubas and euphoniums here. I like in the percussion part here that there are this whole little section, we've started adding accents, and it helps to give it, there's a little rim shot moment leading into this, which is kind of cool, but it gives it a little bit different feel instead of it just being a timekeeping mechanism. Now we've kind of added, like Katie said, it was a little spicy before. Now we've given it a little spicier
element. Like accents
are
on the and of two, you know? So it gives a little syncopated type feel.
Yes, yes. I love this. Horns come in here as well, joining the clarinets on the counter melody. So lots of that color grouping in this piece. We add all the trumpets back in, joining the flutes with this same idea for one, two, and three,
and
four.
Everybody goes back to the longer style here at this new melodic section at 40. So now that the trumpets have added in with the melody, now everybody's back to the same melody or the same style. No more staccatos.
No more staccatos.
Yeah.
So this is building, again, everybody together on this line. This is kind of building to a recap of what we had at the beginning. The low brass parts are moving here a little bit more. You know, they're still on quarter notes, but they're not just playing half notes or whole notes, or they're not just repeating the same quarter note here.
Jumping around a little bit.
Yeah, they are moving around a little bit, and they have
e-naturals.
They have a couple of accidentals, and those accidentals happen across the ensemble, not just in the low brass. I like this. Just like we had earlier in the piece, we start to get this one, two, and three, four, and almost kind of a starting of the fanfare, and the low voices rest two and three, four. That part is really important. We want that to project and come out through the ensemble. Then it leads us into Timpani has another just brief little moment before a grand pause, and it is actually written out, it's metered out to be one measure of 2-4 on that grand pause, which I like that. That way it's very clear to the kids.
In case they're not watching you, which that never happens.
Yeah, of course it doesn't. Yeah. Of course it doesn't.
Right.
And then we get to measure 46, and this is exactly like the beginning, back to the fanfare idea.
Yep, it's the same thing with trumpet and flute. There's the cute little two and three, and the horn and the sax again, and then they do it another time, and then we have like a little bell tone type thing, three from the end. Everybody's got an accent on one or three, and then everybody plays on the next measure on one with a big timpani moment.
More timpani.
Big timpani, and then everybody finishes together on beat two. So this piece is just fabulous for a young band. It's very readable, very doable. The balance is, it's well written to where any well-instrumentated band could easily pull this off and make it sound fabulous.
Yes, I think it's a piece that makes a band sound... The piece sounds harder than it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I love the key. I love the way it's orchestrated. It can make your band sound really good.
Absolutely. Well, we hope that you have found a way to possibly play Summit Fanfare in the future. And thank you for joining us on this episode of
Band BFFs.